I'm starting a brand new series today entitled God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. And this series is all about applying God's word and doing things His way so we can manage our lives properly so we can live an amazing life. And God wants you to live an amazing life. John 10 and 10 teaches us that it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. So God wants us to live in an amazing life, but how many know that it's not totally up to God, that we have a part to play? To the degree that we do things God's way, we will get God results in our lives. And so I want to talk to you just about managing several things over the next few weeks, but really, we have to make sure that we're managing relationships properly. We have to make sure we're managing our emotions properly. We need to make sure we're managing our finances properly. There's so many things that we need to make sure that we manage properly. But how many in the room know before we can manage anything in life properly, we must learn to manage our hearts? Isn't that right? Proverbs 4 and 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so we have to understand the importance of guarding our hearts. In today's lesson in this series, we're going to talk about living a surrendered life. Living a surrendered life. Every believer is called to live a surrendered life. How many know that our lives are not our own, that they belong to God? 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So he already resides on the inside of you because you've given your life to Jesus, whom you have received from God. He says, you are not your
own.
Okay, that was good. Let's try it again. You are not your
own.
That's right. You are not your own. He said, you were bought with a price, and having no, it was a precious price, right? He says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. And so to live this surrendered life, I have to recognize that everything belongs to God, that my life belongs to God, that my gifts belong to God, that my time belongs to Him, that my talents belong to Him, that everything belongs to Him. And to the degree I will take God's word and apply it in my life, you got it? I will see God do amazing things in my life. The writer says, thy word, O Lord, have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so I have to learn to make sure I'm taking God's word and applying it in my life. I have to also make sure that I'm cultivating this relationship with the Holy Spirit where I'm talking to Him every day and He's leading me and He's guiding me and He's helping me. And how many know sometimes He needs to check me and sometimes He needs to correct me, right? And so it's not my will, is His will. It's not my way, it's His way. And so I have to learn to do things God's way. And so how many points do you think I have for you today?
Three.
You already know I've got three simple points that I'm going to teach you that I believe if you'll just lend me your ear and your hearts, it will help you. Amen. And say, well, Pastor, you only have three? Yeah, because you're going to be back next week. And so we'll pick it up next week. All right. So we're going to jump right into this lesson because I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Everybody say number one. Number one, surrender means yielding to God daily. Surrender means yielding to God daily. So I have to yield my life to Him. I have to yield my heart to Him. Not when I feel like it, not when I'm feeling good, you got it, but I have to yield my heart and my life to Him daily. Jesus says in Luke 9 and 23 that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. And so he says, you've got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. You have to die to yourself because, you know, our flesh likes to make it think it's about us, but how many know it's really not about us? And so we have to die to ourselves. We have to take up our cross every day, not just on the good days, but on every day. And so Jesus is calling for daily surrender. Lord, not my will, but your will. Lord, not my way, but your way. Lord, not my thoughts, but your thoughts, right? The Bible says that his ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts, because his are higher than ours. And so what God is saying is, I'm not going to come down to your level of thinking. You got to come up to my level of thinking. I'm not going to do things your way. You got to do things my way. And to the degree we do things his way, we will get his results in our lives. And so it's cultivating this relationship with the Holy Spirit where every day I talk to him and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Send me to the right place. It doesn't matter if I'm used to going to Jersey Mike's every day for lunch. I love Jersey Mike's. I love the number 9 club. They make it the right way. And all of a sudden, the Lord says today, I want you to go to Subway. Well, Lord, I don't want to go to Subway. I don't like Subway. I want to go to Jersey Mike's. It's not about what I want to do, because probably God has somebody there that needs encouragement. God has somebody there that he wants me to be a blessing to, because I'm never closer to the will of God than when I'm impacting someone's life in an amazing way. Till I'm bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. But if I don't want to submit to his will and go to, where did I say go to? Subway. And I really want to go to, okay, y'all are listening. Praise the Lord. I'm just checking, right? Yeah, but so I have to make sure that I do things God's way so I can get God results in my life. And you might say, oh, that's simple. No. That's how God is with us. You got it? That's exactly how God is with us. And so you got to surrender your will and your number 9 club. Hello, somebody. And do it God's way, all right? Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul talking when he wrote to the church of Galatia. He says, and I no longer live. In other words, Paul says, I'm a dead man walking, right? That my life is not my own, that I've been bought with a price, that I've been crucified with Christ. He says, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, watch this, I live by the faith in the Son of God, this is Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. So everything I do is about Jesus. So I'm a dead man walking. It's not about me. It's about him. I've surrendered my will to his will. I've surrendered my way to his way. 1 Peter 2 and 9 puts it out like this. But you, I love this scripture, man. I could shout all by myself about this scripture. He says, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Holy means I've been set apart. You are God's special possession. Do you know that you are God's special possession? Yeah, you know, I like to say that if God had a refrigerator in heaven, that your picture would be on it. That's how much God loves you. That God's love for you is undeniable, and God's love for you is indescribable. So you are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who, my God, today has called you out of darkness into his marvelous or wonderful light. And that's a good place to praise God right there, because he that knew no sin became sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That he didn't wait for us to get it together, that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. And so aren't you glad that God didn't wait for us to get it together, but he had a plan to redeem you and I? That's a good place to praise God right there. So we are to spend our lives every day glorifying God and being a light in this dark world to draw others to Jesus. Can I get a?
Amen.
This is why we can't go off at Bojangles if the chicken ain't fresh. Come on, somebody. I know you like fresh chicken and you're like, it's 12:30. If I go through the line right now, the chicken's got to be right. And then you go through the line and you're like, this is not hot chicken. You got it. Pray over the chicken, bless the chicken, thank God for the chicken, and go about your way. So, you know, Lady and I, every once in a while, you know, especially when we got a lot going on, we will go through the drive-thru at Bojangles. Of course, we're really into, like, trying to eat healthy, and we exercise every day, and we try to do our best. But you're going to just eat some fried chicken sometime. Can I get an amen, right? And so what happened was we went through the line at Bojangles, and, you know, I was trying to be real good. And so I said, I'll get me a kid's meal. Because, you know, a kid's meal is just one leg, right? And so it's not a lot. And so I said, I asked the lady, can I get a kid's meal? She's like, yeah, sure, you can get a kid's meal. And so we lady said, well, I'm gonna get a kid's meal too. And so we went through, we got the kid's meals, and the lady says, I need you to go up to the white line. And so we drove, we said, okay, no problem. So we drove up to the white line. Now, y'all, there was a lot of cars in line. When we first got like pulled up, we were probably like what, the 10th, 12th car in line. It was wrapped all the way around. You know, it was we left here, so it was probably about 2 o'clock, and so it was a lot going on. And so you know, lady's like, sure. The chicken is going to be fresh, praise the Lord. Her faith was in fresh fried chicken, all right? When I first met Lady, this December, we will have been married 27 years, and amen. And when I first met Lady, when she would want to go to Bojangles. See, Lady is really the one that introduced me to fried chicken a certain way, right? So she has fried chicken, but she got to have hot sauce to go with the fried chicken, right? And not just hot sauce, lots of hot sauce. When we were in our younger days, I asked her, "You want some chicken to go with your hot sauce?" But when we would go through the drive-thru, she'd say, "Ask him, is the chicken fresh?" I said, "Babe, I don't want to ask him if the chicken's fresh. I'm just not that kind of person, right? Like, I just can't pull up and they say, "Welcome to Bojangles, can I help you?" "Yeah, is your chicken fresh?" Like, I can't do that. I'm not that kind of guy. So anyways, the other day, we're going through the Bojangles line. She asked us to go up front. We said, "Okay, no problem." And listen, you already know, Pastor lied. I don't lie anyways, but I lie to you now. 3 minutes goes by. 5 minutes goes by. 10 minutes goes by, and everybody's coming and going. And I'm like, "Babe, what did you order?" She's like, "I just ordered a chicken leg." I was like, "Yeah." And then she says, "Well, I'm going to walk in." And first, what did I say? I said, "Be nice." And she smiles. So she walks in and she says, "You know, this is after about, no lie, like 12 or 13 minutes waiting in line." And so she walks and she says, "I said something to them. They said that they know we're in line." I said, "Okay, well, no problem." So we just sat there and we just kept talking. Y'all, we got to about 20 minutes. And then there was a gentleman and his wife, older gentleman and his wife, they came up to the car. And they're like, "What are y'all still doing here?" And he says, "We went in, we ordered our food, we sat down and ate the food, and y'all are still here. You got it?" And so I said, "Yes, sir, it's no problem. We're just patiently waiting." And he looked up and he said, "Y'all must be some God kind of people to be that patient and wait on some chicken." But if I was to go in and fuss and be mean, come on somebody, am I showing the light of Jesus? If I'm going to fuss and be mean, I'm going to lose my witness for Christ. Wouldn't it be pretty bad if me, you got it, the pastor of WLCC goes in and says, "I don't know why you can't just fry some chicken faster, if you could just," and then do all of that. And then they hear about a church name, Without Limits Christian Center, because everybody's talking about it. We ought to go see about this church to come in and see. That's the man that was fussing at me in the chicken line. So everybody say, keep your witness. Yeah, and the key to the surrendered life is understanding living this surrendered life is not a one-time event, right? But it's a lifestyle of yielding our will to God's will every day in every way. Repeat after me, every day, in every way. All right, y'all are a good class. Here we go. We're going to pick it up with point number two. Everybody say number two. Disobedience leads to detours, but grace provides U-turns. Can I get a... Amen. So I was praying and just studying this week and those kind of things, you know, and I like to see, you know, who in the Bible I could really bring to light. And I think Jonah is the perfect example of this, that disobedience leads to detours, but grace provides U-turns. And when I think of Jonah, listen, family, my man goes in the opposite direction of where God tells him to go, right? But he comes to himself, and when he makes the decision to come to himself, to repent and to do things God's way, God was right there to help him. So Jonah's story shows us that you can run from God, but you can't outrun his grace. Now that's bookable, grammable, tweetable, but if you're going to put it down right. I'll say it again. That Jonah's story shows us that you can run from God, but you can't outrun his grace. Now let's watch the progression of this. Letter A, Jonah runs from God. So Jonah 1 and 3, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to do what, class? To flee from the Lord. So Jonah went in the complete opposite direction of where God told him to go. God told him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is northeast. All right? He says, I'm going to go to Tarshish. If you look on the map, Tarshish is southwest. He goes in the opposite direction of God because Jonah thought that distance could cancel his assignment. But what he didn't really understand was disobedience never removes God's call. It only delays it. And so that's why we got to learn to obey God in every situation in our life. If God tells me to do something, how many know he's not going to change his mind? So me being disobedient only delays what God still wants me to do. And so now I have to go through some things, come to myself, ask God to forgive me, and thank God he will, right? But how many know I still got to do what he told me to do in the beginning? Everybody say, just obey God. So he runs from God, and then the letter B, the storm wakes him up. So Jonah goes on. He says, I paid the fare. Man, I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm going to go to Tarshish. John 1 and 12 says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied. And it will be calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So Jonah gets on, and things are not going right. And these guys are on the ship talking about, man, who you need to pray to your God, and what's going on, and all these kind of things. Jonah realizes what's going on, and Jonah says, hey, y'all, I'm the problem. And man, what a life lesson when you get in a moment where you're like, you know what, it's really not you, it's really not you, it's really not you, but I'm the problem. Jonah's choices endangered everyone on board. Because what we have to understand is our decisions don't just affect us, they affect those around us. Does that make sense? And so go to letter C. Jonah experiences God's mercy in the middle. Thank God for his mercy in the middle, right? Jonah 1 and 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Everybody said, this is a real story. This is a real story. And Jonah was in the belly of this fish, how long, class?
3 days.
All right, 3 days and three nights. We already know what Jesus says and prophesies about it. I'm going to keep going. Jonah 2 and 1. From inside the fish, what does Jonah do?
Pray.
Yeah, and we know that prayer is communication with God, and it's also confrontation with the devil, right? So Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he prayed, and he's got this long prayer, and he wants to get things right with God. We're not going to go there, but if you drop down to verse 10, the fish spits him out, not in the middle of the sea, but the Bible says the fish spits him out on dry ground. So even in discipline, God shows mercy and provides a way back. And so watch this. So letter A, Jonah runs from God. Letter B, the storm wakes him up. Letter C, Jonah experiences God's mercy in the middle. And then watch this, letter D. Letter D, Jonah's obedience brings change. I love Jonah 3 and 1. Every time I read it, man, it does something for me. From inside the fish, Jonah 3 and 1, I'm sorry. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what class?
Say again.
And it shows me that he's a God of great grace. It shows me that he is a God of great mercy, that he is not just the God of a second chance, but how many know he's the God of another chance? Because sometimes in my life, I've already used up my second chance and my third chance and my fourth chance. But thank God that his mercy renews not some days, but every single day. So he's not just the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. You got it? That even when it was my fault, his grace and his mercy was right there. Even when I heard him talking to me, telling me to stop doing what I was doing, and I kept digging deeper, it seemed like he made a commitment that he wasn't going to back up, that he wasn't going to walk away. Come on, somebody. That he was going to be right there to help me. And so that is why, that is why the writer says, what a friend we have in Jesus. That he'll never leave us, that he'll never forsake us, that he will always be there with you until the end. So even if you're in a situation where you feel like, man, I messed up, God already forgave me once, and now I messed up again, you serve a good father, you serve a loving father, that you can go right back to him. And if you'll go right back to him, I love 1 John 1 and 9 because it's written to the believer, and it teaches us that if we will confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to give us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put me at the back of the line, it just puts me back in line. And sometimes, how many know we need to get back in line, right? And so thank God. Now, if you're going to give me a good clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. And so Jonah's obedience brings change. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He gives Jonah another chance. This time, Jonah gets it right. If you keep reading, you'll understand that Jonah, he goes and he preaches, and the people of Nineveh repent, which is what God wanted from the beginning. And that's what we have to understand, that God is always there to help you, all right? God is always there to help you. Repeat after me. God is with me.
God is with me.
I cannot fail.
I cannot fail.
God is with me.
God is with me.
And God is greater.
God is with me.
So it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life. It doesn't matter how tough it is. It doesn't matter what people have said. It doesn't matter if everybody has written you off. Jesus will never write you off. It doesn't matter if everybody's changed their mind about you. Jesus will never change his mind about you. And so those were my points. But let's get back to my main points. My main points was, number one, surrender means yielding to God daily, all right? Surrender means yielding to God daily. Number two, disobedience leads to detours, but grace provides U-turns, all right? And then everybody say number three. Surrender unlocks God's redeeming power. Surrender unlocks God's redeeming power. Romans 8:28, a very familiar passage of scripture. I absolutely love it. I gave it to them in the NIV and the KJV. It says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." The NIV says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." How many love him? Everybody in the room, I hope, right? And who have been called according to his purpose. And that's the thing that I love about God, that even when I'm on the right road, if I mess up on that road, or if I get off of that road, or if I take a detour, that the love of God and the grace of God, you got it, and his strength has the ability to take something that was bad and turn that thing around for good. So weapons may form, but they will not prosper, right? I might bend, but I will not break, because as long as I've got Jesus on the boat, I cannot sink. And so Romans 8:28 says, "And we," oh, we're going to try that again. "And we
know."
And we know that in all things, so not some things, but all things. Because sometimes if we're not careful, say, "Well, yeah, you know, this was on me because, you know, it was my fault, so I don't expect God to help me." God doesn't want you to think like that. He says, "And we know that all things work." I'm memorized KJV. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And so God always works things out for our lives. And how many know that it's just not happenstance? Because nothing just happens, right? That God is infinite, that God is eternal, that God is all powerful, and God knows exactly what he's doing, and God does what he does on purpose. Isn't that right? So you mean to tell me that a fish just happened to be there at the boat when the guys threw Jonah overboard? No, nothing just happens. I believe that was the redeeming power of God, that he had a fish waiting because he knew that they were going to throw Jonah overboard. And then watch this. And then when he prayed, watch this, and the fish spit him out. Do you notice in verse 10, it says he spit him out on dry ground? So you mean that the fish just happened to be close enough to shore that when he spit him out, it was on dry ground? See, nothing just happens. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I could go on and on and on talking about, oh, so you mean to tell me that the Red Sea just happened to open so that the people, the children of Israel, could go on dry ground to escape Pharaoh? No, nothing just happens. Oh, you mean, Pastor, it just happened that there was a ram in the bush for Abraham and Isaac when they're on that mountain? No, nothing just happened. So David just happened to have the right stone and it hit Goliath at the right time. No, that was the power of God in his situation and in his life, because nothing just happens. Let's go home, maestro number two. Now look at your neighbor and just tell him nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they were your second choice, but tell them nothing just happens. No, God knows exactly what he's doing. He's protecting you on purpose. He's protecting your children on purpose. He's protecting your grandchildren and your great grandchildren on purpose. He's keeping your mind right on purpose. He's keeping your body healed on purpose. He's keeping your family together on purpose. It's not happenstance. God knows exactly what he's doing. Now, I always give you 3 points. I always give you 3 points every Sunday. But if I was to give you a bonus point today, if I was to give you a point number 4, it would be that today is the best day to surrender. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And Jonah shows us that you can run, but he also shows us that you can return. And maybe there's some of us in the room today that we need to make some U-turns. Maybe there's some of us that don't know Jesus, and we need to meet him, and we need to invite him into our hearts. But then there's some of us that we know God, we love God, but maybe we just kind of headed down the wrong road, or maybe you didn't head down the wrong road. Maybe it was just one decision that you made that wasn't the best decision. And the thing I love about God is he allows U-turns. The thing I love about God is he allows second chances. So heads are bowed and eyes are closing. Believers are praying all over the building. And so, Father, I thank you for the harvest, and I declare that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, I'm going to make several appeals. Appeal number 1 is maybe you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. And I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And let me just break that down for you in case you're new and you're like, I don't know, understand what that means. That just means that you, number one, have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you. And you have to understand that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need to repent. I need to confess my sins. And I need to confess him as the Lord of my life. I need to invite him in so I can start living for him. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away. And behold, all things, the writer says, become brand new. And so you can have a brand new life with Jesus. Maybe you're in the room or online and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God's not mad at you, God's not upset with you, and God's not angry with you. And don't listen to people who talk like that. They don't know what they're talking about. God's love for you is undeniable, and God's love for you is indescribable. I said it before, I'll always say it, that if God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it. That's how much God loves you. And so if you need to make an adjustment today and just say, God, I'm sorry, today's the day. Maybe you're a Christian in the room and you love God or online, and you just made a mistake or, you know, like we all do, fall short sometimes, have an attitude, say something we shouldn't say, act the way we shouldn't act. All we got to do is confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so what I want to do is I want to pray with you today. If you're in the room or you're online, you say, hey, that's me, Pastor. I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I want to invite him in. Or I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or I'm a Christian, and I just want to pray that prayer of repentance because I just want to make sure that I've got that fresh start with him. My whole thing is don't leave out of here today wrong when you can so easily leave out of here today right. And we'll make it real easy for you because we're going to pray this prayer together as a family. You say, well, Pastor, I don't need to pray it. Well, number one, it's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. But number two, this is a prayer we could pray every day. This is a prayer that Pastor prays every single day. Why? Because I just have to be sure that my heart and my life is right with Jesus. And so I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Okay, everyone in the room, say, now Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now boldly declare this, say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. Now, Father, I thank you for those that are in the room or online that they feel a connection without Limits Christian Center. Maybe they've been coming a while, and maybe they say today is the day to get connected, to join WLCC. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will lead them, is leading them to this place, that they'll check the box, and they'll come to Membership 101, and they'll begin to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, make a difference, and we commit to keep pointing them to Jesus so they can live a better life. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the house on today?